football on off the ball.
You can drive yourself mad with that kind of stuff, can't you? Like, you can't take your job home with you all the time. Like, if you're worried about what people are saying about the football club that you cover or support, you're always going to have a problem.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Inside the Odds on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Get up to 50% boost on all bet builders with NoviBet. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
All right, very welcome along to this week's episode of Inside the Odds, our Premier League preview show on Off the Ball in association with NoviBet. Matthew and Mick are here. The weekend's fixtures: Sunderland against Forest tonight at 8, Fulham against Villa, an early kickoff for Villa with the opportunity basically to guarantee Champions League football if they win that game. 12:30, West Ham against Everton's 3, Wolves Spurs 3, Liverpool Palace a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday afternoon for Liverpool, Arsenal against Newcastle at 5:30 on Saturday evening, Manchester United against Brentford on Monday night at 8 o'clock. It's also FA Cup semi-final weekend, Manchester City versus Southampton. The hot balls seem to have worked very well for them, keeping Man City and Chelsea apart, but actually maybe it would have been much better to see Man City and Chelsea in the semi-final and have Leeds out. Anyway, Chelsea versus Leeds is Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm going to start with Arsenal against Newcastle, which is obviously the game of the week, and that means it's the game that NoviBet are going to offer a €10 free bet on if your bet builder loses on the biggest Premier League game of the weekend. Every weekend, NoviBet are offering the best value on football betting with a risk-free bet builder on all of the biggest Premier League and Champions League matches. It's also the game for our off-the-ball bet builder of the week, and we had a winner last week, Mick.
We did. Yeah. Well, I think we did. I have to check with NoviBet actually as to whether we had a win or not, because basically it was, people will remember, it was on a few things with the Man City Arsenal game, the corners over, easy money, miles over, under 4.5 goals in the game. I kind of thought it was going to be 2-1. I would like to have gone further on that. It was only a 5-2 bet. We went for City +2 because of a kind of a feeling that City would be the dominant team, but certainly wouldn't lose by more than a goal if Arsenal sneaked it. And we had over 4.5 cards because we were expecting a feisty one, which I felt pretty good about when Gabriel and Haaland squared up to each other and got two yellow cards. Now, the fifth yellow card in the game was the Pep Guardiola.
And just for the record, this is if he had been sent off like he should have been, that would have come home, right? Because the yellows count as reds.
I think it's just yellows. A card. So if he had got two yellows, yes, it would count as two cards. But if he got straight red, I think it counts as one card.
We should check that.
Again, we will check it out. And we'll also check out whether manager or off-pitch yellow cards count. But look, let's just say I was one yellow card off the first week and I'm either one yellow card off the second week or
a winner, winner.
So not bad so far. And I've gone to leave out the yellow cards altogether this week.
Okay.
Arsenal, Newcastle.
Well, I think there'd be a few yellows in that.
Maybe, but I just wasn't. Wasn't comfortable with going back into the yellow card well too often. But I have gone to the corners one again. It was 9.5 was the over under for the City Arsenal game, and I think it went up to 14 or 15. This is 10.5, but I still feel good. I just don't think there's Arsenal games without loads of corners. I think even the way they defend, like City had more corners than Arsenal last Sunday. So I'm pretty good. I've gone over on 10.5 corners. And here's the real thing. It's two things together. It's predicting the type of game that happens in title run-ins, which is tight, nervy, and if Arsenal are going to continue this title race, they're going to have to win. And I kind of think 1-0 is the most likely. So what I've gone for is an Arsenal win and under 2.5 goals in the game.
Okay.
Along with the over 10.5 corners.
So if they win 2-0, it still works.
2-0 is okay. 8-1. So it's kind of Newcastle not to score, really, is what you're looking at there. It has to be because it's 2.5 goals. If Newcastle score and Arsenal win, we're done. But 8-1 there, I don't mind it. And I suppose I'm holding on to the reins for the time being, as I've either been close or won in the first 2 weeks, and then I'll pass it around the room. Don't you worry.
But okay. They've only scored more than once in a game since the 4th of March. That was in the game they beat Man United. And though that game they scored two goals in was their 7-2 loss to Barcelona.
Right, okay.
So they're not, and they've played a few times since. They played 7 games since, and they haven't scored more than once. Only once in that Barcelona game, which is a write-off.
They needed to score 0 this week. But you do kind of think that, like, right, Arsenal, there's a school of thought that Arsenal need to go and say, throw everything out now. It's not in their hands anymore unless they start playing swashbuckling football and win all the games 4 or 5 nil and pass out Man City in goal difference. I just think that's an unrealistic thing to happen. Whereas it just feels like tight, nervy, Gabriel header, you know, 74th minute and win 1-0. And it kind of just gets them back on track a little bit, and City aren't playing in the league this weekend, and suddenly just things feel a little bit less. Maybe the swashbuckling comes in a couple of weeks' time, but I can't see them doing it at Newcastle. Now, the thing is, Newcastle, I just, to Matthew's point about how much they're struggling form, they're struggling in front of goal. I think if Newcastle offered them a lot of problems this week, I think it'll be on Arsenal rather than because of Newcastle and what they do to them. So, yeah, I just, I kind of like low, tight scoring, high tension, low quality and low entertainment factor.
Yeah.
And I think that leads to a nice little 8-1 bet builder.
Well, that's all very credible. I think the form of both teams is actually bad, considering
Newcastle's so understated how poor their form is.
They've lost their last 4 league games in a row, and I'm just looking at those fixtures and thinking, at the start of the year, they would have been going, okay, we've got Sunderland, which obviously is a big derby game, so there's no guarantee or anything, but you'd expect them still to be better than them. Then you've got Palace and Bournemouth. If they'd taken 9 points on that, they'd actually be in 6th. And that's a run of 3 games that they've lost and got 0 from. And being in 6th at the moment, there's like a 50-50, maybe it's a bit smaller.
Slightly less than 50-50 chance, but that yeah.
That you'll get into the Champions League.
Yeah. So, certainly couldn't be ruling that out, like.
No. I mean, if Villa beat Forest, they'll win the final. But
it's so Villa probably, you would really say, like, it's hard for me and you to look at this objectively, but Villa probably have about a 50-50 chance of winning the Europa League at this point, because they obviously have a slightly better than 50% chance of beating Forest, and then they'd be heavy favourites for the final. Then you take away the fact that, like, them of Manchester United and Liverpool are the only ones playing on another front, which suggests that their league form might not last through the end of the season. Champions League, through the league, is basically assured at this stage, or close to it anyway. If they beat Fulham this weekend, which we'll probably talk about, they're basically in. But at the same time, I think they're looking up. The fact that United haven't got, like, I don't think they'd worry about the difference between 4th and 5th. They finished 4th before.
Yeah.
I do wonder if 3rd might be something that they're keeping an eye on.
Villa.
Yeah, Villa are level on points with United. United have beat them, and it looked like they were just waving them goodbye on the way past. And since then, Villa's form has been better than United's. And I just don't think it's a guarantee that, like, again, now United have their Champions League place secured just as Villa do at this stage. Villa level on points. I think they have to be looking at 3rd place. Finished 3rd.
I think if you are Unai Emery, you're saying to them, this is a run now that we're putting ourselves through in preparation for next season, when we're going to be in the Champions League and trying to be contenders in the title.
Yeah.
How unrealistic or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's what he's saying in the change room. It's like, we're going to drive on here.
Do you reckon there is teams there like that are looking at that table going, realistically, if Arsenal or Man City win their last 5 games, we're going to win the league with 85 points? It's not a huge total. Like, it's more back to the traditional kind of what we've experienced maybe in the early 2010s. Before Man City decided to do what they're doing. Like, I don't think it's unrealistic for Aston Villa to target that next season. But I do think, as in, to target it, I'd be closer than they are now this season. But I still think we know the way Unai Emery operates. I think all focus now that they're pretty much secured on in the Champions League, I think it's going to turn straight to Europe. Like,
so I think, given the starting point of this conversation, then that may be true. I just don't think, I have a feeling that Villa will finish above 5th, right? But there's a huge chance they finish 5th, right? There's also what we're saying about a 50% chance to win the Europa League. If you're Brentford, even Chelsea, given what they're going to have to do for the rest of the season, they probably still would think of themselves as favourites. But you've got Brighton as well, obviously.
Brighton, Bournemouth are there, yeah.
Brentford have drawn their last 4 games in a row or something like that. So they've slipped down a little. 5 games in a row. So they could easily be in it. But yeah, your point that Newcastle is fair, Ger, but there's a load of teams there that are thinking like 6th place could be... It's a ridiculous situation, by the way.
100 million.
Finishing 6th in the Premier League gets you into the Champions League. Like,
That's if one of the English teams wins the Europa League, yeah.
No, only Villa. So basically, if Villa finish fourth in the league, they've qualified for the Champions League.
If they
finish fifth, then that's just the English coefficient place. So their qualification has been through the Europa League.
Okay.
So it drops off.
Yeah. Sixth is crazy.
Yeah.
Although Spurs got in this year and they finished 17th, although totally different avenue.
They did qualify, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
We did come off the thing that we were supposed to be talking about, which is Arsenal Newcastle.
Yes, of course.
That would be very unlike us.
Mm. I don't know what to make of Arsenal now. I think that weird conversation about Arsenal fans being hopeful because of the quality of the performance they put in against Man City, and then I heard Dion Fanning talking about it last night, even more hopeful after Man City's performance was poor against Burnley. And I do wonder if it's just that fake hope.
It's a total 180, isn't it? Because it's like we lost the game, but by God, we played well.
And
when the whole season it's been, geez, we're terrible, but we're winning. And it's mad for a team to just accept that switch, you know, for fans to accept that. And I think you're right. I think it's just this false sense of, oh, come on.
And the other side of this, right, to follow that through is that like, it's great now. We're no longer the hunted. We're the hunter. And as soon as they win their next game,
yeah,
they're being hunted again.
Yeah.
And they have another game.
And it can be six
after
clear,
that.
Yeah.
So like with the good chance they go three clear and win this week. And I was like, oh no, we're in charge again. Oh.
Mm.
Even though we're not really.
Mm.
Did City look a little bit nervy to you guys on Wednesday night? Like, nervy might not even be the right word, but I do wonder if this idea that Man City are just in this, like, land of milk and honey and
I don't think
it's
are,
all, you know, easy street for them and, like, they're laughing at Arsenal under nervous tension. I think that might be a little bit simplistic. I think City are seeing the finishing line now as well, you know, and they didn't put out everybody, as my fancy team knows. But
nearly everybody, though.
Yeah, well, a couple of defenders that I could have done with playing. But they.
He's going to rest apparently everybody this weekend. It'll be like a.
That's what I mean. It's decided the FA Cup was less important than Burnley on Wednesday. So I don't think that I don't think City are just kind of like all there yet. I think it'll maybe if they get a bit of a cushion. If Arsenal don't win this week, it's hard to see Arsenal finishing the league well. Like, this is almost Arsenal's last chance tomorrow. You know, like, they have to go and... By the way, this is happening while City are playing.
Yeah, which is a bit mad, isn't it? Yeah.
Mad FA Cup scheduling. That this is the FA Cup game's on at 5 o'clock in Wembley. And it's going up against, like, Sky Sports with, like, the biggest Premier League game of the weekend.
Yeah. I think it's not bad. Like, the dual screen thing is fine for fans now. They think everybody's used to it. But actually, it's no harm that they're both kind of slightly mind off... Is there any possibility that Man City get turned over in the cup?
Oh, I'd love it. Like, I'd love it to happen.
A Southampton Leeds final. Yeah. All the history.
Yeah, I mean, Southampton are...
Sunderland, isn't it?
Yeah.
79?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Anyway.
70?
It's earlier than 79. There was 72, I think, or something. 73, maybe, yeah.
I'm sure someone was
that. Biggest shock in FA Cup final history. Yeah.
Southampton are on this outrageous run as well. So we do see these things happen, but they were held at the weekend, actually, so that kind of scuppered them a wee bit. But that being said, their focus similarly to, as we spoke about with Villa, not necessarily having to focus on the league anymore. Southampton obviously won't be focusing on this, but at the same time, it's an opportunity to play at Wembley for a couple of players and a team, I suppose, that will be hoping to be playing in Wembley in a couple of weeks' time in the playoff final, you know, if it works out that way. But the Irish interest is through the roof there too with Ryan Manning and Finnsas, so hopefully they can get it done. But I'd be surprised. I mean, to knock out Arsenal at the time when they were top is one thing, and now to go and do it to City would be another. But
of course, we have seen crap teams beat Man City in the FA Cup before.
I wouldn't call them crap now.
Sorry.
Over the top.
Relegated teams,
yeah.
Possibly. When I said Sunderland beat Leeds, the biggest shock in FA Cup final history, I immediately did think at the time Wigan did beat Manchester City.
Do you know what goes under the radar, right? The next year after that, just while we're talking about the FA Cup. So Wigan won the FA Cup that 2013 season. The next year.
So you're talking about Wigan?
He brought it up. The next year, right? The next year, they got beaten on penalties in the FA Cup semi-final. Against Arsenal.
What?
And Arsenal went on to hammer Hull.
Well,
they didn't hammer them,
Europa,
I suppose. They beat them in the final.
They scored early, I think.
Yeah.
The Europa League.
Yeah.
And they got to the semi-final of the Cup and played 46 games in the Championship.
Uwe Rosler's Wigan,
Oh, wow.
That's bad.
Where's he now?
That must have been a long season.
It's over in Denmark, I think. Aarhus, maybe.
How did they manage, like, the playing twice a week in
they
the championship.
They didn't moan about
Europe.
It. They just like playing games, no training.
I know, but
that's a genuinely amazing question. I'm not sure. They got knocked out in the group stage of the Europa League, but they didn't disgrace themselves, though. They actually did okay. I think back then you got straight in, so they don't think they had to win a qualifying round. They were just straight into. They had Ruben Kazan, Maribor, and Belgian team.
Oh, it was all groups, so
yeah,
six
Belgian,
games.
Belgian team, yeah. But
Ghent.
Brilliant. But it just shows that, man, like, imagine that they were within reach of a back to back FA Cup.
Anderlecht.
They got to the playoffs that year, too, in the Championship.
There you go. And more games.
Yeah.
That's enough we can talk. It was good. That was worth it. Chelsea Leeds.
Thanks, Chair.
Chelsea Leeds on Sunday. I think that it's too late. Changing the manager now, obviously they had to do something, and it does put it more on the players for them to try and come up with something. But I still think that Leeds surely sense blood and will just batter Chelsea physically.
Yeah, I think so. I'd be with you on that. I'd be very surprised if Chelsea came away. No, they've lost 5 games in a row. They can't lose every game for eternity. And they'll be fancying it. Now, there is... No, I do think, right, as bad as the Liam Rossini reign has been, and maybe he's partly responsible for the kind of way the players have carried on and the attitude that they seem to be portraying, maybe he's wholly responsible for that. But I'm not sold on these Chelsea players.
No.
Not sold on them at all. I need them, really. One or two exceptions to rule, as always, but... there is a world where they come out and they're like, yeah, let's show what we're about here.
Yeah,
and it's not very much.
It's not very much.
All right, okay, yeah. I think there's an element for me that is like, okay, well, I don't know if it is very much, but they're better than what they've
been in the last
5 weeks.
Of course, so they can't be worse,
right?
Anyway.
So, I think it's the Downing Tools against Brighton is so unprofessional, and people could talk about the circumstances or what was going on, and stuff, but it's clear as day that this is a bad group, right?
Mm.
That to go out and do that and play that way. They didn't put in a tackle for half an hour or something. Like, there was some mad stat about that. They had 2 tackles in the first half. And didn't have the ball either. It wasn't as if they were like dominating possession. So that's like a disgrace, and would point to a long term, it doesn't matter who the manager is, you're not getting anything out of this group because they're unprofessional. But that doesn't, I don't think, inform this weekend, because They are also because they are unprofessional, they're probably the type that will say, shackles off.
And we've seen that so many times.
They definitely have a lot of quality in there, whether it's
The injury list was bad, like very bad, over the last couple of weeks. And I wonder if some of those miraculously clear up in time for an FA Cup semi-final to begin at Wembley.
Yeah, well, we've seen that too.
Won't be Estevao anyway.
But the injury list there, and I think it's probably something to do with the fact that they've got an eternity of players, always seems to be quite large. There's always someone out. And I know there is certain players there who, like Reece James, just have this chronic injury problem.
Fofana.
And he looks half the player he was when he was at Leicester all those years ago. But
Lavia seems to be injured. He hasn't been
fit at all since he signed. Like, so,
what's the story with Cole Palmer?
He's gone. Oh, yeah, he's the clear up person. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just wondering what'll happen now.
There has been all that talk, hasn't there, about him having playing through this injury or whatever. But I don't know. I'm not buying it.
They did also like win the Club World Cup this year, and there is
a suggestion
that they are just playing, that it is a tired squad. Fine. I don't not buy it. But
tired.
I don't know if tired is good enough for what happened on Tuesday night. But what do we think of Palmer?
I think he's obviously very gifted, but has yet to have a manager who's managed to put him in a consistent place and week in, week out, give him a set of instructions that are consistent and got the best out of him. Be interesting to see him at a club that was well run.
I don't think Chelsea have done any favours by making him the focal point superstar of this team. Now, City were probably doing the opposite and going way too far the other way of like trying to hold him down and make him like young kid with potential for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's got too much too soon at Chelsea here. It just doesn't feel like they're getting the most out of him.
Yeah, he's clearly like a very talented player, obviously, and he's backed that up with substance too, which is something that we don't always see from the younger players, especially when they come out of City like that. But there were always some holes, even when he was at the very peak of his game. Like, you know, I think I remember reading some stats about his pressing and all that sort of stuff, that it wasn't quite up to scratch or up to standard of what similar players at different teams have been doing. But at the same breath, I know you're going to make the point there that if he's going to be your guy, he's going to be your X factor. Well, no, he doesn't necessarily have to be doing it to the same degree as someone else.
Well, maybe it's because he's instructed not to.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's a fair point. Yeah.
That's what we never actually understand. Yeah. Was that a tactical reason or is he lazy?
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah. And they're two extremes as
wasn't
well.
Wasn't famously Matías Cunha the least mobile, as in he moved the least?
Yeah.
At Wolves last year, and then this year he's been totally fine.
So okay, maybe that's a good example then to go against what I was going to say, which is hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube if you're Cole Palmer and you've been told, you know, we're going to play around you for the last 3 years, and then someone comes in with a bit more discipline into how the team plays and he's expected to do it. Whereas I think when he was 19 or whatever age he was when they signed him, absolutely you're a moldable player, whereas now he's like Mr. Superstar, I don't do that.
Well, if that's the attitude.
Yeah, if it is. I'm sorry, yeah. I am 100%.
He's screwed. And whoever signs him for too much money will be screwed.
That is the thing. He could end up being one of these players that... I don't think Chelsea would want to get rid of him, of course not, because they know what he can do and we've seen what he can do. But
is he playing for England in the summer?
No, it's... Oh, is he playing? No, I don't think he will, no. I'd say, like, it's him or Rodgers, is it?
You know that it's...
Off the bench, I would say.
Oh, is he in the squad? Probably, he's probably in the squad, like, yeah, I would assume so.
It's 3 or 4 training sessions in the week before that will dictate exactly what happens. More than likely, they'll decide who's in form and who's not in form. Morgan Rodgers, in form, out of form, in form, out of form, back in form.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah. But you do feel like it'll be the starting lineup. I think they'll go with Anthony Gordon, I have to say, or Rashford. I think Tuchel will be disciplined in trying to pick a left-sided player with Saka on the other side, and it'll be Bellingham, ultimately, when it comes down to it.
Think?
So then you're looking at who's coming on, and I think Rodgers is ahead of Palmer.
I think Rodgers is way ahead of Palmer. I think Rodgers starts ahead of Gordon.
Yes. Well, Rodgers probably can do that left side. He does for Villa every second game, to be honest.
Like, I think Rashford will be involved in a significant way.
I'd say more likely off the bench as well. And needs to get some form together. Yeah, would you take him back at Villa?
£25 million? That's a great question.
Yeah, I would. If his wages were reasonable, because obviously financial is thing. But I'll tell you why. It was like, I look at him for Barcelona and I think he's on it for him, but he's not at that level. I don't think he's good enough for Barcelona. I don't know if he's good enough for where Man United want to go. But you can't argue about where Villa want to go versus where they are. He was brilliant in the few weeks he was there last season.
Yeah.
Like, and he was electric, and he was worth having. You could be building around someone like him if you're a Villa team hoping to.
I think £25 million is a reasonable price for somebody with his experience. And
again, what's the money really if you're paying him $30 a year?
Yeah. Well, the money is the opportunity cost of finding somebody, and Villa have just been bad at finding attacking players who stick at it. The thing
is now that's slightly different to what it was when he came in, and I know he's on loan that time, but there was a potential for you to get his career back on track, sign him cheap enough and potentially get a return on that. If you're taking him now for £25 million, he's yours. Mm. And there's no possibility in 2 years' time of someone throwing you £60 million at the age of 31, 32.
If you got 90 for Rodgers, you pay the 25 for Rashford, and then you try and rebuild
get someone
the squad
out of the championship
the
then for £25 million or something, and try to replace Rodgers. That I think that's a sound plan.
I don't know if Rodgers is going for 90 though. I have to say
130 for Rodgers.
130.
I think you get the guts of 100 million for Rodgers.
Like, that's
Rodgers is also English.
You can't be making law of what's the expression?
False equivalences.
I
don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Offer code, no knickers. What is it? What is it?
I don't know. It's the the case and law one.
Hard cases make bad
law? Yes.
Okay. All right. That was exciting.
There we go.
We got
I
there.
Just wanted to move on, but nobody would let me.
Fulham versus Aston Villa, 12:30 tomorrow. What's going to happen?
I think Villa are going to win.
I do too, actually.
I think week off. I think everything. I think momentum. I think Fulham on the beach. Marco Silva.
They're not quite in the beach
off.
They also could squeak into this Champions League race if they were to
they
win every game.
It?
I don't know about the Champions League race, but they're 3 points behind Chelsea, four behind Bournemouth with a game in hand.
It's a tough fixture, but it's not the worst one, I think, for Villa to have to go and kind of consolidate everything. They're playing Burnley after this, I believe, and then you're kind of in between the Forest games, and you're thinking,
Fulham,
right, this is
Forest,
just
Burnley, Forest.
So this is just like set up everything here in the next 4 games, give it all, and almost nothing after that even matters then. You can have your Liverpool and your City game.
Yeah.
and it'd be
play
fine.
Play the kids in those games, unless you want to finish third and ratchet up the pressure and get everybody ready for a cup final in Istanbul.
Villa Forest European Cup final is amazing. Semi-final is amazing, I think. I'm all over that. I'm loving that. I know, I usually like, you get to a final, like two English teams, whatever, Chelsea City a couple of years ago.
I also would much prefer not the Forest team who have brutalised Villa.
Yeah. Always have trouble, at the City ground especially.
And there was a, they played really
legs,
well to get back into a game last year. Was it Murillo scored a header and it would score in the first half. Villa got back into it and it was like, oh, this is the bit, we're gonna beat this team. And that's important in the Champions League because they were both running for the Champions League at that stage. And then Forest just came back and beat them down in the second half. And so that's why I would, that's why
I'm concerned
about
crosses.
It. Yeah, I suppose as Villa fans, maybe it's a bit different. But I just think as a prospect of sitting down of a Thursday night to watch a game.
I also think there's something nice about the European pedigree of both clubs. There is the big English clubs who are always in Europe. And then there's the only other two are Villa and Forest. And they're playing each other,
And the other thing is, watching Villa games has been unbelievably exciting this year because they are bad at the back and great at the front.
Mm. Yeah. High line, not playing well. Goalkeeper gives the ball away.
Yeah. You're always on the edge of your seat when
Martinez save when it was 3-3 last week.
Oh, ridiculous.
Can I tell you about that? I haven't been on any shows, but the Clare game was obviously on at the same time and I didn't get to Ennis. And I find with those things, like, you can only like really care about one thing at a time. So it's like, I have Villa on, but it's very kind of just there in the background. And I see the second and third goal live. I just happened to nod down for them or whatever. And I'm just kind of very content about it. So I'm almost not thinking about that at all. Clare game ends. I'm not even rushing to turn on the fat match. I'm letting some of the post-match happen or whatever. And then eventually I'm like, right, I'll put this on the TV. And I am not joking. This is like, they immediately scored. Like, immediately. And I'm like, for God's sake. And by the time I've kind of settled on that, they've scored again. It's like, almost like my day has collapsed here. And then it went from that save 10 minutes later, 38 seconds later, a Villa put up on their Instagram this week. They scored a winner. And I've gone from not really giving a crap to racing around my sitting room table or my kitchen table, screaming at my daughter laughing at me.
Oh, that's amazing.
A roller coaster. West Ham, Everton, 3:00. Wolves, Spurs, 3:00. Liverpool, Palace, 3:00.
That's a good 3:00. All those games matter.
Unusually so, yeah. Everton in the race for Champions League. West Ham obviously desperately trying to stave off relegation. Spurs either couldn't have picked a better or worse time to play Wolves.
Why worse?
Well, because, you know, sometimes the team plays their best football after the games after they've been relegated. This is pressure off and they're all playing for a move. They all know they're available for transfer.
But they were a hard team. They beat Villa, and remember they really gave Arsenal a lot of trouble. No, but they gave United a lot of trouble.
They drew with Arsenal.
That was all in the space of two or three weeks.
But they were really good in those games. Like, they were like, this is not a team that should be adrift at the bottom of the league. And then they came back after the international break why did we have to come back?
They beat Villa and Liverpool back to back. Do you remember the late goal against Liverpool?
Yeah.
The deflected one. And then since then they've drawn to Brentford, they've lost. They got hammered by West Ham, of course, and then
that was kind of broke their spirit.
Yeah, and then hammered by Leeds then, of course, there the other night. So I don't know. But it's Spurs though. It's like, I think there's a world where there's a lot of these teams, and not a lot of these teams, every team in the league when they go and play Spurs are gonna have in the back of their mind, I think, we can do these, you know. Like, this is important in a different way. And the playing off for moves thing is interesting as well. I do think a lot of that Wolves team will do well to get back to the Premier League, but obviously there is opportunity for them to go to Europe, where a lot of them came from really at the start of the season. Like, a lot of players weren't Premier League proven, so there's probably moves there for them. But
the worry for Spurs in this game is the worry. Like, that's what it is. So I think Wolves will be there for the taking. If they don't take early chances, they don't get a bit of a lead, or even if they're just like 1-0 up, there'll be a smell blood opportunity for Wolves, you would think. And like, even the other night, like, there was the whole thing that was like, Spurs played well. I thought they played better than they have played. And
I'd agree with you, yeah.
If that really good goal doesn't happen, I didn't think they were going to score. Mm. But Grant, maybe they would have held on 1-1 draw, whatever. But like, the 2-2 was so much worse than it would have been. It's just like playing out as a 1-1 with them kind of half pressurizing it, like, because that was a spirit breaker. Like, so I don't know. It just feels like they'll all be on edge constantly now. And they'll be
Jamie Simmons won't be on edge. He doesn't feel anything.
I don't think he's an on-edge type of guy, is he?
Yeah, I was saying this the other morning. I think Spurs are too high and too low. There's no middle ground at all. There hasn't been all season. And I think that comes down to the fact that they've got players that don't really know how to deal with the position that they're in. I'm not celebration police or anything like that, but like, there's celebrating in the moment, there's realising what's happened, and then there's tears coming after the game, which is ridiculous stuff. And then there's going home. Then there's going home
with five games to go.
Then there's going home and getting your phone out and posting the celebration. It's like, it's not even like it's an in the moment thing. Also, it's crazy. It's
if
crazy.
If he was having one of these seasons where, you know,
he
the
is
club
the
has struggled,
light.
But he scored 16 goals and he is the man, that's his second goal. Two goals,
it's
one
bizarre.
Assist.
It's bizarre.
You say there's a lot to play for in all these three games, but well, is there anything for Liverpool and Palace except like
Liverpool? No, probably Liverpool. You're right, actually. I'm
safe,
thinking about that because I'm worried about where Liverpool are going to finish in relation to my team. But Liverpool are fine now after the Van Dijk goal, I think. They're 7 points clear of Chelsea, what, six ahead of Brighton?
Yeah.
They'd want to pick up some points, but you can't.
Yeah, they will.
The pressure will be off. They'll beat Palace at the weekend, I think.
Palace focus will obviously be in Europe, but they do are one of the few teams, the only team in the league that's got six games left.
Right.
So they have 18 points to play.
Are they
for.
Not? Are they not stranded on 12th like they always
are?
They're
in 13th. They're on 43 points, but they're only six behind. They're six behind Bournemouth. So if they won their two games in hand, they'd be level with Bournemouth and 7th, who are in a European place at the moment. So
well, that would be mad. Yeah. They qualify for Europe again after this weird season they've had.
Yeah, but they'd probably have to win pretty much all their games, and I don't think they've shown any signs of being able to do that this season.
Man United play Brentford Monday night at 8 o'clock. This is one of those games that I think will have an outsized importance in whether or not they think Carrick is capable of doing it, because it needs to be a routine enough victory against a side who's actually quite good, but who
and
are
draw
not
five games in a row,
not in great form.
Yeah, and also United struggle with Brentford and have for years, and it's a crap fixture for them, and it's one that, like, there's a few ghosts there, I would say, for it. I think you're right, actually. I think that's a Old Trafford Monday night.
Can you do
perceived
this?
Team that are worse than they actually are, and. Yeah, can you handle that sort of pressure? Can you win 2-0?
Yeah, and guarantee third. You know, like, it's a very reasonable, acceptable, building on the stuff that you inherited. Can you do that next season and have a title challenge and qualify for the Champions League routinely next year? And then that's the, like, there's three more infusions for the year after of, you know, a quarter of a billion that they're spending in transfer windows at the moment. So
yeah, third is interesting because third shouldn't matter to Manchester United and probably doesn't in the grand scheme of things. But I think given the situation they're in now, I think if Villa or Liverpool catch them, I think that's
gone
then. I think he has to finish the best of the rest, like,
and continue the form out to the very end, because there's no excuse not to. Other than, oh, they don't really rate you and you're an interim. It's like, no, actually, I had credibility with them. They did what they were supposed to do. They implemented the game plan. There were some matches we lost that we should have won. There were some matches we won that we should have lost. But
I didn't think they were great against Chelsea, now, I have to say. And they were obviously really bad against Leeds.
They lost the
XG against
Chelsea. They're
not playing well, like, you know.
So, okay. Our bet builder this week comes in the main Saturday Premier League match, which is Arsenal against Newcastle at 5:30. NoviBet are offering the best value on football betting with a risk-free bet builder on all the biggest Premier League and Champions League games. It's because it's our game of the week. It means that NoviBet will offer up a €10 free bet if your bet builder loses on the biggest Premier League game of the weekend every weekend. What is your bet builder?
Up to a €10 free bet, depending on your stake. But Arsenal to win under 2.5 goals in the game. So that's a 1-0 or 2-0 win for Arsenal. And over 10.5 corners in the game. And again, I think there was 16.
So we want it to be exciting, but not too exciting.
Exciting, but in that kind of arsely way that makes none of us want to watch.
Four corners in a row and nothing happens.
Declan Rice. He takes so long over the corners, though. Will there be time for 11 in the game?
Averaging one every 8 or 9
it's
minutes.
It's a lot of corners, actually.
It is a lot of corners.
Yeah, but regularly you'll see one corner will lead to three, you know?
Yes, exactly.
That's a good point.
Inside the Odds, our Premier League preview show on Off the Ball is live every Friday. It's in association with NoviBet. We'll see you next week.
Inside the Odds on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Get up to 50% boost on all bet builders with NoviBet. Download and play today. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.